Where others saw order, I saw a straitjacket. A cruel, oppressive world dictated by made-up rules. Seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades, each life a faded lesser copy of the one before. Wake up, eat, work, sleep, reproduce, and die.
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity. Okay.
Okay.
Joe.
Yes.
You are like number one. You have been pummeled into the upside down. 11 hit you with an intense telekinetic and electric kind of power, beating you into the wall, which brings you into the upside down. You're in there, you're walking around. It has some gold sky, some weird looking dogs, some desolation. What do you do first?
Well, I probably am very scared. The upside down it's a scary, dark place. It's like a sort of a creepy echo of the real world. And as I've said, I think a few times before on this podcast, I'm a little bit scared of the dark. I'm a bit scared of the dark. And so there's like, apparently like creatures roaming around in there. I just imagine that I'm just going to be freaked out and like curl up and cry. Unless this is a world where I have like telekinetic abilities and I can like control things and stuff.
I know.
Do I?
That's up to you.
No, I don't.
You don't?
I imagine I probably don't.
So you probably wouldn't pet a demodog?
No, I barely pet real dogs. You think I'm gonna pet one with a face that looks like a garbage disposal?
I would probably cry, like under a yellow rock, but most of all, I would explore, just like number one, and then cry because of all of the terrible dark things that I'd see.
And then you would try to figure out a way to break into the real world and destroy all of humankind?
Exactly. No, I wouldn't. But I'd probably be like, hey guys, look at this world down here.
Before we say any more, if you're listening to this and you have not seen Stranger Things season 4, major spoilers to come. This will be one giant spoiler episode. We've probably said too much already and we apologize for that. But you did theoretically read the title of this episode and you knew that we were going to talk about Vecna, the primary villain from Stranger Things season 4.
Woo! He's number one.
Literally.
He was the first birthed of the telekinetic kids. Maybe, who knows? He's Henry, and he's guy with really defined cheekbones.
Tiana, how did you feel about season 4 of Stranger Things overall?
I really liked the heightened horror and the fact that like people started dying like in the first episode really took it to a pretty dark place.
Gruesome, like Chrissy's death was, I mean, really brutal stuff.
It was really sad because you're like, no, Chrissy, don't be killed by Vecna.
I really liked season 4 and I was sort of surprised because I got a little bit tired after season 2 and season 3. I thought they were fine, but I wasn't captivated by them like I was season 1. And so season 4, when you told me to watch it so that we could record this episode, I was like, I don't know if I have the energy to sit down and watch this whole thing. But I was pretty taken by it right away. And I think this season was a lot of fun, very scary. I had to watch it during the daylight because especially the first couple episodes really freaked me out.
Oh, wow. Can we talk about the homage to A Nightmare on Elm Street?
Freddy Krueger, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. If you're a new listener to the podcast, you won't know that we are big Freddy Krueger fans. We did an episode all about Freddy Krueger. So Go check that out if you haven't already.
Yes.
But today, it's all about Vecna.
It is Vecna, the one and only, pun intended.
Peter Ballard, Henry Creel, the other names he's known by, but the children in Stranger Things name him Vecna, which is named after a character in Dungeons & Dragons that they use to sort of conceptualize and understand who this villain is that's coming to take over their world. Anyways, what's his deal, Tiana? Tell us about Vecna.
Yeah, okay, so first let's talk a little bit about Vecna. You know when he like became Vecna, he looked like veiny and gross?
Yes.
Why? Why does he look all veiny and weird? Like, why do you think he looks like that?
I know because I watched it on the show. when he gets pummeled into the Upside Down, he sort of gets like shocked with these lightning bolt things that sort of like distort him. I also suspect that using all of his power somehow probably distorts his body. I feel like using like powerful forces, especially dark forces, always seems to have some like a physical toll on the body.
Yeah, it takes your nose.
Yep, as usually. We've seen in other characters such as Voldemort.
Yeah. So he has like a lot of vines on him and he's kind of veiny and viney. And the veins kind of connect him to the rest of the Upside Down, or the vines connect the hive mind. So it's easy for him to control what's in the Upside Down. Why do you think he likes spiders?
It's funny sometimes when you ask me these questions as if I also haven't done a bunch of research on the character. So I'm like,
I'm just testing you. Yeah. Everything's a test.
So I believe that his fascination with spiders comes with some like a connection to them that he feels. Whereas like, and now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, does this really actually make sense? That the feeling sort of like outcast and looked upon as different and bad. And somehow he feels that he shares that with spiders.
Yeah. Black widows, especially, very independent creatures. They're kind of isolated. And they're creatures that clean up the insects. And he sees himself as like a spider cleaning up, quote unquote, cleaning up the humans. Like, he even puts the children that he killed in, like, a web-like thing. And he's just like, I'm Charlotte from Charlotte's Web. But not as wholesome.
I don't remember when he sang like that.
He said, I'm Charlotte from Charlotte's Web, but not the wholesome kind. And that's his song. Speaking of songs, why do you think music helps someone get out of Vecna's grasp?
Again, I don't think. I know because I watched the show and did my research. So the music, like the sound waves that are created, and this is, I think, literally word for word from the show, that the rhythmic frequencies of musical sources can reach sensitive centers of the brain that basic vocabulary cannot.
Yeah.
So where Vecna like imprisons the mind in a dream world, music is able to penetrate through that and sort of bring people out of it and recognize the real world again.
Yeah. I stumbled upon this article from Inside Hook, where a board-certified music and creative arts therapist also kind of talked about Stranger Things, and his name is Eric Gundel. He said, in therapy, music provides a vessel for emotional exploration and a safe framework to soothe deeply felt trauma. It's like when you listen... My commentary, I guess, is when you listen to music, you kind of feel your vibration rise and your energy soar, and it allows you to process trauma or sadness or any emotion kind of in a safe and calming way. And then they're not, you know, stuck in that trauma when they're able to soothe it with music. Vecna kind of uses that trauma to scare people and trap them into his grasp. And like, for example, when my cat died, I used to listen to a song called I Get Along Without You Very Well, Except Sometimes by Chet Baker. And, you know, it didn't make me forget my sadness, but instead it allowed me to feel my sadness kind of in a safe but moving way. Taking that time to process it allowed me to move forward. But the sound, the subtle sadness and brightness of the song, I think, was just so moving. And sometimes it's also hard for me to put into words like why music helps so much, but everyone listening can be like, oh yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that a lot of people intuitively know or intuitively feel, but it's difficult to explain.
Right.
But maybe there's a little bit of magic to it.
A little bit of magic.
Yeah. Just to add a little bit of basic context here. So Vecna was not always this like monster creature. He was a young child at one point who, for unknown reasons, had some sort of telekinetic abilities that he sort of became aware of, and he felt like an outcast and he sort of started to explore his abilities and his dark feelings, and he became sort of hateful of the human world, and he sort of looked down on people for a number of reasons that, to be honest, are not very clearly explained. We'll get into that a little bit more later. Basically kills most of his family, frames his dad for murder, and then gets taken by a dude who wants to research his telekinetic abilities. And he is basically put under control of this research facility until he meets Eleven, who he tricks into breaking him out of the control of the facility. And then he murders all the other telekinetic children and tries to get Eleven on his side because he recognizes a kinship with her. And then Eleven doesn't want to join him because he murdered all the other children. Eleven throws him into the Upside Down and he's trapped there. And now in season 4, we meet him as he's trying to get out by penetrating people's minds and preying on their shame and guilt in order to murder them and open up portals to the Upside Down.
And 4 kills apparently opens all the gates. He's at 3 right now. 4 chimes on the clock also ring when he's about to kill. And he may strike again.
Yeah, he's got a weird obsession with the grandfather clock.
Yes. Which, I have a quote that kind of summarizes his motivation, right?
Oh, I have a quote that kind of summarizes the motivation.
Okay, you have a quote. We all have quotes, okay?
Wait,
okay,
can we
go ahead?
Yeah, are we able to sort of jump into our themes here?
Uh-huh.
Well, that quote leads so nicely into what I want to talk about thematically. Do you want to read it?
Yes, okay. I'm trying to get into Vecna mode. Like, I am a mysterious, sultry, skinny man with cheekbones and vines, who like spiders. Okay. You see, humans are a unique type of pest, multiplying and poisoning our world, all while enforcing a structure of their own, a deeply unnatural structure. Where others saw order, I saw a straitjacket, a cruel, oppressive world dictated by made-up rules. Seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades, each life. A faded, lesser copy of the one before. Wake up, eat, work, sleep, reproduce, and die! Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for it all to be over. All while performing in a silly, terrible play day after day, but I could not do that. I could not close off my mind and join the madness. I could not pretend. And then I realized I didn't have to.
Hmm.
That's the quote.
It's a really lovely bit of word poetry there.
So poetic.
And it sounds really nice too. And I was really captivated by it when I watched the show. And then as I went back to sort of research like Vecna's motivation and I started diving into it a little bit more, I had trouble interpreting what his like real qualm is exactly. He's like upset that people have like created structure and
it's boring
and this like mundane repetitive lifestyle, which I get. Like, yeah, all right, that it is, it's frustrating, but somehow that this is what makes them a unique type of pest that's poisoning our world, that they're enforcing control and structure on each other. And what frustrates me about it is because literally the thing he does is sort of like take control of people's minds and bodies. And
right.
It's like,
so he's taking control.
All right. The pot calling the kettle black or whatever.
Yeah. And I think he thinks that the Upside Down world is more natural and not so rigid. And
yeah, he seems to think that he gets to create a better world, which is annoying because it's like, oh, humans can't assert their control, but I guess I'm not human. I guess maybe he's not. We don't really know. So he gets to assert all his control.
Yeah. And then he's like, I'm gonna make it like a black blob of blue and gray reds. How beautiful, you know, and then have like ooze and vines just everywhere. Yeah, that's perfect. I love vines in my house. It just makes everything better.
Yeah.
If it's the upside down, I love it.
Now, we are a podcast that tries to empathize with villains. So I will say there is a little bit about this that I feel like I can connect with. And it is exactly that frustration with the structures and redundancies of life. And sort of that thing that, like, I mean, he's right. Time is made up. Like, we just decided what an hour is as humans. And then we decided that we have to conform to that. But like an hour could be, it could be 100 minutes, or it could be 5,000 zipper dongles, or, you know, it's like whatever we decide time is what time is. It's not like a real thing. It's just a concept. And what's frustrating about it is that there are all these things in our life that are constrained by time. And for me, that's always been a source of anxiety, that like, oh, this is due at this time, or I have to be here at this time, or someone is supposed to meet me at this time and they're not showing up. Like, all these things become sources of anxiety for me. But the reality is they wouldn't be if we didn't have this sort of just like rigid idea that we created about time and what it means for us. And then, I mean, also the sort of like aging thing that's like, oh, we only have so much time left in our lives and we have to fit everything in, which, I don't know, I guess it is frustrating. I get that. It doesn't lead me to the conclusion that I need to destroy all humankind.
Right.
But I can sort of relate to that frustration.
Yeah. It's kind of like the danger of boredom a little bit. You know, he's kind of like bored with the redundancy and waking up and eating and working, sleeping, reproduce, die. Well, like, he's kind of on another level where he needs some more.
He's so powerful and he doesn't have like enough stimulation. And he,
yes, stimulation.
He can't get that stimulation from the real world.
Right, right. And so when you're just on another level, maybe you kind of go a little unhinged deep down. Yeah.
Or like, dude, like go skydiving or something like the rest of us when you want to feel something.
Did you feel something when you went skydiving?
Yes.
What did you feel? Was it love?
First of all, I was like terrified in the days leading up to it, and right, particularly like while boarding the plane.
Yeah, the anticipation's the worst, probably.
Yeah. As soon as we like jumped out of the plane, and really what I mean is when Brandon jumped out of the plane, I was just strapped to his front side. I didn't do anything. It immediately was fine, and it was just like some of the most fun I've ever had. It was like so thrilling and exciting, and I just immediately wanted to do it again. I was bored with my regular everyday work life, showing up, clocking in, clocking out, which I don't actually do because I'm salaried. But
Joe wants to make that clear. Yeah, Vecna, go skydiving, watch a movie. I don't know.
Ride a roller coaster.
Eat some popcorn.
Bungee jump.
Bungee. Oh my gosh. Oh, I saw a video of a guy bungee jumping, but like the way he was attached to the bungee, it was like clips on his butt. I don't know. Anywho, I have to show it to you sometime, but I was like, yeah, do that, Vecna. Just be like, woo, bungee attached to my butt. He could handle it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I've got, as far as relating to him. What do you got?
I think it's fairly clear to me that Vecna is a metaphor for traumatic memories that can kill you inside, or kind of figuratively kill you or hurt you within yourself. It seems like Vecna could lose power when one heals themselves or like leaves their painful past in the past, because then he can't use these painful, traumatic memories that can sometimes cause guilt. He can't use those to scare you and then take control of you when you have the power to kind of leave them behind.
Yeah, he seems to like pick on people who have particularly weak, I don't want to say weak, that's not a great word, who've had maybe particularly difficult experiences that they haven't had the support necessary to fully heal from.
Yeah, it seems like even if you can remove yourself from your traumatic past, even temporarily with music that makes you feel healed, it helps to get out of his grasp. So I found it interesting that in a way he kind of motivates you to heal your guilt and trauma, because if you don't, he'll get you. And I picked up a book from the library. It's called, I forgot if this is the actual name. It's like a Heal Your Inner Child book from the library. It was like written in the 90s. It makes me like write strange things in a notebook and draw with my left hand.
Stranger Things?
Yeah. Yes. Right. Yeah, I didn't even notice that. Write strange things in a notebook. And it has me draw with my left hand to talk to a supposed person, my inner child inside of me. You know, that's normal, right? To like talk to a being inside of you. I don't know. And whenever I open it, I'm like, oh, doing work to comfort my inner child and healing any hurt from my childhood will save me from Vecna. Great. I think Vecna has a warped view on how people should heal. So before he kills Chrissy, he says, it's time for your suffering to end. And he seems to believe that making Hawkins and the Earth into the Upside Down will make everything better than what it currently is. And that the suffering and the pain of human life will end.
Yeah, I think he maybe doesn't believe that someone can actually heal and that the only way to like end their suffering, like he doesn't even believe in sort of life in the way we understand it, because he seems to think that giving over to that pain and dying is the way to get through it. And it absolutely is not.
Yeah. And I was like, what other, like, obviously you wouldn't be like, oh, let's turn it into the Upside Down. That'll make everything better. I wouldn't do that. But I wasn't sure what else either. Like, does everyone in Hawkins crack open a Heal Your Inner Child book? Or like, what do they do, you know?
It is frustrating. I mean, we've talked about this plenty of times on this podcast, is that like the perfect recipe for villainy is going through something difficult and not having the support to get through it and help you through it. And in this case, I guess what we're sort of talking about is not necessarily the potential for people to divulge into villainy, but just that traumatic experiences can entice you into darkness, and that the way out is to connect to other people. Like in season 4, Max is struggling with all this guilt and shame about the death of her brother, and she's feeling like she doesn't have anyone else in her life. And ultimately, like, what brings her back and what brings joy back into her life is reconnecting with her friends, particularly what's the one kid's name, that
Lucas,
like rekindling her friendship with Lucas and realizing that people in her life are there to support and love her is what grounds her in the real world, and ultimately I think is what saves her.
Yeah, so that's what I had. I do have a question for us.
Okay.
That I think will help us understand Vecna. So Max's Vecna song was Running Up That Hill, Deal With God by Kate Bush. The song allowed her to get out of Vecna's possessive grasp when she was listening to it, right? So what is your Vecna song, aka the song that would help you get out of Vecna's grasp? And do you think playing that song would also save Vecna and help Vecna, quote unquote, see the light and stop his havoc on Hawkins? Why or why not?
So there are three songs that immediately come to mind for me.
Okay.
And it's tough. I don't know how to narrow it down. So the three songs are Red by Taylor Swift. And the reason I say that song is because I've been obsessing over it for like the past week. So it's just on my mind. And it's just like constantly captivating me. The second one is Lover by Taylor Swift. It is one of my top three all-time favorite songs, I think almost certainly. And then finally, All Too Well, the 10-minute version by Taylor Swift.
It's all Taylor Swift. Of course it is.
I'm a big old Taylor Swift fan over here. Ultimately, I'm going to go with Lover, I think, for a couple of reasons.
That's the one I've heard. That's good.
You know that one?
Yes, I actually know that one.
Everyone should know that one. If you haven't heard it, look it up. It's wonderful. But I think of those three songs, it sort of has that sort of brightness and softness that just activates some sort of like pleasure center in my mind and makes me happy. And if there's any song that makes me just kind of want to twirl around the house alone, it's that song. And I think Vecna could get a lot out of it. You know, just Lover. I think.
So you're his lover.
No. I'm not his lover. Okay. I just think that he could, that could be a mantra for him. He could be like, I'm a lover, not a life ruiner.
I'm a lover.
Yeah. I think that's the album Lover is this sort of like beautiful cotton candy sky imagery, like soft light, which is sort of in direct opposition to the dark, ugly underworld that he's created. And I think if he let a little of that cotton candy sky into the Upside Down, it would just make him happier.
Yeah, I would love to see a cotton candy Upside Down. Oh my gosh, he's got Will. He's in the cotton candy. So mine is...
Yes, what's yours?
It's Marry the Night by Lady Gaga. And I'm actually wearing a Marry the Night t-shirt right now that I got at a Lady Gaga concert back in 2013.
I've actually never heard this song.
It's the first track on her Born This Way album. And you may have heard it and not known it, maybe, but...
Oh, maybe, like, can you sing a couple?
I'm gonna marry the dark, gonna make love to the stark. I'm a soldier to my own emptiness. I am a winner. I'm gonna marry the night. I'm gonna marry the night.
Oh, yeah. I think I have heard that. I'm gonna marry the night.
Yeah. She says it just like that. And so, yeah, those are some of the lyrics. She says, I'm gonna marry the dark, gonna make love to the stark. I'm a soldier to my own emptiness. I am a winner. I'm gonna lace up my boots, throw on some leather and cruise down the streets that I love in my fishnet gloves. I'm a sinner. But the line that impacts me the most is she actually says, I'm not going to cry anymore. And that is kind of about like taking control of life to me and moving on from the traumatic memories and retiring the tears. So that I think could still save me from Vecna, even though I know it's embracing the dark, but it could inspire me to embrace my own kind of dark and my own kind of rebellion that is not Vecna's. Right. Like I want to rebel against Vecna with my like fishnet gloves. Like I'm a winner. You know, I'm a sinner, but I'm my own sinner. I don't sin for Vecna. And would it save Vecna? It might actually make him embrace the dark and evil more, but I think it would help him have more fun with it. So Marry the Night to me also means like embracing the wild, free, and dark parts of you and not fearing the exploration of the wild and the not so innocent parts of you. If Vecna's listening to the song, I'm picturing like Vecna with fishnet tights and fishnet gloves and a leather coat over his like viney body and like marrying the dark of the Upside Down. So he's like a lover again, but he's a lover of the darkness of the Upside Down. But maybe it'll help him just thrive in the Upside Down because he'll have so much fun there and not bother Hawkins because he's embracing the dark that already exists. At least when he's embracing where he's at inside the dark Upside Down, he thrives there and doesn't go expand elsewhere because the dark and the beauty of the Upside Down is enough. He is a sinner and he's going to marry the dark of the Upside Down and stay there and love it.
I think I did this wrong. I just picked like my favorite song.
Yeah, no, you did it right.
But then listening to your answer, I changed my mind.
Oh, okay. What is it?
I actually want to go with Out of the Woods
by Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. Yep, from 1989 album. Because it's a song about sort of escaping the darkness, and it's sort of about sort of remembering the past, both the good and the bad, and then sort of I like the imagery of bursting out of the woods as this sort of like dark, scary, interesting place. And the song has like such a good build to it. I think it's a better Save Yourself from Vecna song. Out of the Woods, my pick.
And your favorite song will also save you from Vecna. Like Lover would save you too.
Yeah. Out of the Woods is still a top song.
If you were floating in there right now, I would put on Lover.
Yeah. Anyways, if you're listening, let us know what song would save you from darkness.
And if it would save Vecna.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to post on Instagram about that, and I'm going to put together a Spotify playlist.
Cool.
So keep an eye out for that. Hopefully I'll have created it by the time this episode comes out.
Right. So yeah, I do have a poem. This is a poem that I wrote from Vecna's perspective, and it's called Vecna in the Coffee Shop. I am Vecna. Look at you. Look at us. In this coffee shop. You see me. You were enjoying your mocha so pleasantly. Yes, I fuck with Gen Z. A little bit too much, I admit. You're just on your phone in this coffee shop anyway. Now I'm here to take you to a better place. To a better coffee shop. Imagine the new upside down coffee shop. In this town. I'll introduce you to it. It has red dripping walls, and the mocha looks like it'll burn your mouth open, making your mouth ready and open for the exciting, true nourishment there is from the great unknown, the great upside down. Look out the window. A red fire shooting across the sky. You could never have shooting stars in Hawkins. This time, your wish arrives. Your wish is here, where you have no pain, just red. You haven't healed? I can tell. Your boyfriend didn't like you, I can tell. Here, in the upside-down coffee shop, you can kiss the Demogorgon at the cashier counter and never fear where it takes you. He's asking for tips. Call me Bill O'Reilly, fuck it. We'll redeem your soul live. Let your soul rip out in the middle of this place. The grains are brewing, and so is the release of your solitude and what kept you up last night. We will be in power together. We will be in strength together with a caffeine that actually fills your veins with what will make you more than human. Your grief was not in vain. Let it fuel you into the beautiful domain. Sit tight in the new upside-down coffee shop. You can smell its aroma from quiet bedrooms. You can sit in the web near the barista. Be in the upside down coffee shop where you truly thrive in the present, as a creature in the web of everything raw and real. Call me Charlotte, the spicy one. And enjoy the coffee.
Tiana, thank you for sharing. Ooh. As always, we've got to rate our villain today. What kind of system should we use this week to rate Vecna?
Demogorgon.
How many Demogorgons?
Yeah.
Out of five.
Out of five. Okay.
All right, I can go first on this one. So when I watched Stranger Things season four, I only watched it once. At first, I thought Vecna was this really incredible villain because of like what you talked about, that whole metaphor for like trauma and shame and guilt, I thought was so powerful. But then when I started doing all my research about Vecna and reading into his backstory and his motivation, I felt like it wasn't as fleshed out as I felt like it was. And I wish that metaphor had been leaned into a little bit more. Ultimately, I'm going to give him two Demogorgons and one Demodog.
Okay.
Because I think he was on the road to greatness, but I think he could build on his motivation story a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite buying it as a good reason to destroy all of humankind.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm actually going to give him 4 out of 5. Nice. Because, well, for one, he's just so mean. Like, the way that he kills someone is so excruciating. Like, he's like, oh, I'm gonna crack your leg back and make you look like a broken ballerina in the air. Like, he's terrible. So he gets more points for villainy, I guess.
That's a good point. We sort of glossed over how violent
and he's like,
he was.
Let me squish your eyeballs. Like, okay, he's got some theatrics going on here, which is like, okay. Don't know why Chrissy has to look like that in your web, but suit yourself, I guess. I don't know. Whatever, Vecna. I don't know. I'm like annoyed with him, but also I gave him 4 because he's kind of ruthless. What's the point? Why are you punching people's eyes out? I don't know. I don't know why. It's just these extra theatrics up his points. Yeah.
Well, that's Vecna.
That's Vecna. Yeah, thank you so much for listening. Oh.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for listening. We do have a Patreon. That's patreon.com/nextdoorvillain. We have some cool bonus content on there. You can vote about what villains we cover in future episodes, and a bunch of other cool stuff you can check out for as little as $3 a month.
Yep.
Which is less than most cups of coffee these days.
Less than my value. As a person.
Oh, no.
Follow us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Next Door Villain. We also have a TikTok at Next Door Villain Podcast. And rate us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It helps us out a lot. And share out this episode if you liked it. It helps.
Thanks for listening.